The question today is, what does the word propitiation mean? The word itself, the English word, is used three times in the Bible. Romans chapter 3, verse 25 is the first time it's used. And it says there, it's talking about Christ, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in His blood, to declare His righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God. Words also used in 1 John chapter 2, verse number 2, where it says, "And He is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world." 1 John chapter 4, verse number 10, it's used a third time in the Scripture. It said, "Herein is love, not that we love God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins." So the word propitiation is connected to the Lord Jesus. But what does it actually mean? Now, I know all three times it's in here, it's referring to the Lord being, these times it's used, it's referring to the Lord Jesus being a propitiation for our sins. Romans 3:25 says that whom God has set forth to be a propitiation. That word set forth means to be placed on the cross of Calvary. In other words, that's where He went to die. What He did on the cross of Calvary, in becoming a propitiation for our sins, was really a fulfillment of what he did, of what the typology was in the Old Testament time. In the book of Leviticus, and I'm not going to read Leviticus 16, but you might read that whole chapter sometime and look at what was done on what was called the Day of Atonement. We find that the priest, of course, he had to offer a sacrifice for his own sin, first of all. I want to tell you, Jesus, as our high priest, didn't have to offer any sacrifice for his sin, for He was the sinless Son of God. But the Old Testament priest had to offer sacrifice for his sin, and then he took two goats, and he chose, the lot fell on one to be what was called the sin offering, and the other was called the scapegoat. And they would take those two, they would take one of them and slay them. That was really the substitute that was there for man's sin. Man would have to confess his sins, or at least as on all the individual sacrifices, they would confess their sins over the head of the animal that they were to sacrifice, which showed identification. My sins causing this innocent one to die in my place. So therefore, the substitutionary sacrifice, if you please, is connected here. As we find the fulfillment of that type, He was the fulfillment, but there that animal was slain, even though He had done nothing wrong, but He's slain for the sins of the people, and His blood was carried into the Holy of Holies by the high priest and sprinkled up on the mercy seat seven times eastward. And there, as they sprinkled that blood, that was to satisfy a holy God. God would not overlook sin or forgive sin without having a blood sacrifice. And so, therefore, that was called the Day of Atonement. Really, it was a day of covering, because they had to do this over and over, year after year after year. The second goat they would take and carry it by some reputable man outside the camp, and they'd carry it over to a cliff somewhere and throw it out in the wilderness, or maybe throw it down the cliff and break its neck, where it would never come back into the camp again, because it represented my sins are gone. There's the sacrifice, there's the substitute, and there's the mercy seat, or the propitiation. The word is what it means. Now, Jesus is a fulfillment of all that. He, the sinless Son of God, was the one who went to the cross of Calvary, lay His own life down, and became sin, a man who knew no sin. He was in the relationship of the Father and the Son in the beginning. Of course, He said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." But yet, He come to a time when darkness came upon the earth, when our sin was laid upon Him, and He became our substitute. The Bible said the gospel is that Jesus died for our sins. That means He died in our stead, in our place. He's our substitute. Therefore, He's our propitiation. He also was our sacrifice, the supreme sacrifice that satisfied a holy God. Of course, they carried Him, buried Him in a barred tomb, and that's a sign similar to the goat being carried out in the wilderness where His sins were sealed over, and you couldn't see that anymore. But when Jesus resurrected, He went into the heaven of heavens, the holy place in heaven, the holy of holies, and there he sprinkled his own blood upon the mercy seat. And that was the mercy seat was the pattern that God showed Moses. Some people think that mercy seat in heaven is the one that the Old Testament temple was destroyed. It was transported into heaven. Not so. It was not transported into heaven. It's the pattern Moses made the Ark of the Covenant and the mercy seat after here on earth. And as a result, Jesus sprinkled his own blood upon that mercy seat. Now, when it says Jesus is our propitiation, he is our sacrifice. He is our substitute. And he is our mercy seat. Because you see, his coming satisfied and dying and sprinkling his blood satisfied a holy God. And that, in fact, they say, many people say that God turned his back upon his only begotten Son and became dark. So he didn't want to look upon him as he was dying there on the cross of Calvary. Folks, I want to tell you, that's not exactly right. The Bible said in Isaiah 53, he saw the suffering that Jesus went through. And in other words, he saw that. He did allow him to become our sin, a man who knew no sin, but that's what he came for. I'm talking about why he's robed in flesh. And so as a result, he died on that cross to take away our sin. No wonder whenever... See, John the Baptist understood some things about that, because when Jesus, after he was baptized and was tempted of the devil 40 days in the backside of the desert somewhere up on the hill or mountain or whatever, there he came forth, and when he came walking back in the presence of John the Baptist, John knew who he was, because he'd seen the Spirit light upon him like a dove, and the Lord had told him that that's the way that was going to be the Messiah. And he looked and he said to the people that were standing around him, "Behold, look yonder, the Lamb of God that will take away the sin of the world." Now, in the Old Testament time, that goat or whatever sacrifice they used only covered the sin one more year at a time. And they had to go back and do it over and over again. But when Jesus died on the cross of Calvary and shed his precious blood, he was our sacrifice. He was our substitute. He took away our sin forever. And he carried his own blood and sprinkled it in the Holy of Holies on the mercy seat and satisfied a holy God. And so therefore, we see that he is our propitiation. Now, these words three times is used, as we said in the Bible, but they're from two different Greek words, and yet they're similar. I mean, it's just a little different Greek word, but they've got the same base, the same basic word, the same root word, I guess we could say in that. But the same word that's translated propitiation in Romans 3:25 is also translated mercy seat in Hebrews 9, verse number 5. And it said, "Over it the cherubims of glory shadowing the mercy seat, of which we cannot now speak particularly." In other words, the mercy seat is the same word translated propitiation in Romans 3:25. Now, the other two, it's all right. They're still equivalent words of that because they're from the same root word. In other words, it's interesting to note, though, also that in the book of Luke, chapter 18, verse 13, the same Greek word that's translated propitiation, the same root word has the same root word here being translated merciful. It says about the publican, and of course that's the story about the publican and the Pharisee coming into the temple to pray. The Pharisee prayed, "I'm glad I'm not like the publican. I do this," and bragging about himself. But the publican, standing afar off, would not so much as lift up his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, "God, be merciful to me, a sinner." In other words, when he said that, he was saying, in essence, with understanding in his heart. That's what it amounts to, because he said, "Lord, you are my propitiation. Merciful. You're my substitute. You're my sacrifice. You're my mercy seat." And some people try to use that, what he prayed there, when he said, "God be merciful to me, a sinner," and use that's what's called the sinner's prayer, and yet he's the only one who's listed in the Bible as praying that particular prayer, and he had understanding. Now, if you've got understanding like the publican had about Jesus being your sacrifice, your substitute, and your mercy seat, or your propitiation, then I have no problem with your salvation experience. But so many people pray that prayer and call it the sinner's prayer, and then good meaning preachers and altar workers, I guess you could say, well, you called on the Lord. You prayed this sinner's prayer. I want to tell you, you can pray it all day long. And if you don't have understanding, you're not going to be saved. You're going to have understanding about mercy seat, about the sacrifice and the substitute. And this old boy had grown up, in a sense, with it. And I know it's a parable, but he grew up with this type of philosophy. He had something to build on. And when God spoke to his heart, he humbled himself and cried out, Lord, you're my mercy seat. You're my substitute. You're my sacrifice. And that's a good thing. In other words, he's saying, Lord, you're my propitiation. And that's what Jesus came for, to be the propitiation. Now, you notice in 1 John 2, it talks about the fact he's the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. Now, some people want to say Jesus just died for a certain few, and I understand their thinking. And it's true, if you die in your sin and you're not saved, you'll have to pay your own sin debt. But Jesus being the propitiation, not for ours only, not just for the saints of God only, but for all the world, means he's capable. His blood was capable of saving all and will save all who will come God's way. And God's way is faith in his blood shed on Calvary. Romans 3:25, what did he say? Whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood. And so it takes the work of God in your heart to bring you to that place, to have the understanding you need about Jesus being our propitiation, our sacrifice, our substitute, our mercy seat. And whenever you come to the end of yourself through a work of Holy Ghost conviction, the work of reproval, and you come to the end of yourself, and he gives you the understanding about sin, about righteousness, and about judgment, as he lists in John 16, verse 8 through 11, then God will grant you repentance, because reproval is the factual part of a Holy Ghost conviction, but godly sorrow is the emotional part. And all that deep cause, God calls grief over your sin that nailed Jesus to the cross in your place as your sacrifice, your substitute, your mercy seat, will cause you to cry out from the depths of your heart. And it'll cause you, it'll work repentance in you and enable you, when he works repentance in you, and it's got to be him, you can't do it yourself, it's got to be him, but when he works that in you and he grants you faith, because it's his faith, he's got to give you that faith. And when you have been granted repentance and faith, then you can obey the gospel by repenting and believing, and thus believing the fact that he is my propitiation, my sacrifice, my substitute, my mercy seat. This is Edgar Lee Pascal, host of Ask the Pastor, saying good day to you until we meet again on the air or in the air. May the good Lord bless you is our prayer. In Jesus' name, amen.